The importance of Christ's resurrection. Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? On Friday, we basically looked at the question, why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to die? And today we look at why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? The importance of the Lord's resurrection. But before we launch into the discussion, let's begin with a tale which nonetheless attests to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. A man and his ever-nagging wife went on vacation to Jerusalem. While they were there, the wife passed away, says the story. The undertaker told the husband, "You can have her shipped home for $5,000, or you can bury her here in the Holy Land for $150. The man thought about it and told him he would just have her shipped home. The undertaker asked, "Why would you? Why would you spend $5,000 to ship your wife home when it would be so wonderful to be buried here and you would only spend $150? The man replied, "Long ago, a man died here, was buried here, and on the third day he rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance. I can't." You see, we may chuckle at such a fable. However, we are convinced of the truths that Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead. The Bible says in Romans 4:25 that Christ was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. This means his resurrection is crucial to our salvation. 1 Peter 1:3 says that Christians are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior is a foundational doctrine of the Bible. Christianity stands or falls on the truthfulness, on the veracity of this unique event. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and Christianity stand or fall together. If someone wants to refute Christianity, all he has to do is to successfully refute the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the faith will totally crumble. Of course, we know this is not possible. The truthfulness of God, the divine inspiration and inerrancy of the Scriptures hinge upon the truthfulness of the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have Christianity. You cannot have the Christian faith without the resurrection of Christ. If the resurrection of Christ was not a literal historical fact, then we have no business in being here today. Christian author Josh McDowell has said, "The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most wicked, vicious, heartless hoaxes ever foisted upon the minds of men and women, or it is the most fantastic fact of history." End of quote. How important is the resurrection to us? How important is the resurrection of Christ to us? Our eternal salvation is dependent on the resurrection. Many Christians assume that the death of Christ on the cross on the behalf of sinners is what saves them. Now, we know this is partially true, but it is only half of the truth, because salvation by Christ is wrought through the death and the resurrection of the Son of God. These go together. These two truths go together. You cannot separate them. Both are equally important events which secure our redemption. Coming back to our main question for this morning, why is the resurrection of Christ important to our faith? Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Five truths to consider. You've got five truths to consider. Truth number one, the truthfulness and fulfillment of Scripture depend on Christ's resurrection. The truthfulness and fulfillment of Scripture depend on Christ's resurrection. For example, in Luke 24, Jesus said it himself after he had risen from the dead. Verse 45 and 46, he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, to his followers, including the 11 disciples. Thus it is written. He's referring back to what has been written in the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures. Because at the time, you only had yet the Old Testament scriptures when Jesus said these words. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. Then, as the apostles were proclaiming the truth about Jesus, the gospel, and the resurrection, for example, in Acts chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, say the following: as for the fact that he, that is God the Father, raised him, God the Son, from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. That's a quote from Isaiah 55:3. How else would the Lord Jesus Christ receive the holy and sure blessings of David if he did not rise from the dead, if he did not go on living? And then verse 35 says, therefore he also says in another psalm, a quote from Psalm 16:10, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You see, these are references from the Old Testament concerning the truthfulness of Scripture regarding Christ's resurrection. The truthfulness and fulfillment of Scripture depend on Christ's resurrection. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then whatever you've been reading from the Old Testament, you can't trust. Because the Old Testament has been saying all along that he was going to die and rise from the dead. Coming to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. And what did he receive? What did he receive from the Lord? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He is talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day. Again, he repeats it, according to the Scriptures. Again, the reference is to the Old Testament. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was raised on the third day after being buried, according to the Scriptures. So, the truthfulness and fulfillment of Scripture depend on Christ's resurrection. Truth number two that we need to consider as to why the resurrection of Christ is important to our faith. Number two, the truthfulness of Christ depends on his resurrection. The truthfulness of Christ depends on his resurrection. Why? Because he spoke of his death and resurrection many times. That's why not only the Old Testament scriptures, the fulfillment of them would be jeopardized if Christ did not literally rise from the dead bodily. In the same way, what Jesus said about his resurrection, of course, would be untrue if, in fact, he did not rise from the dead. But we know, he did. That's why it's so important for our faith to grow. It's so important to our faith to know that Christ's words were true, and the truthfulness of his words, whatever he said, not just about his resurrection, whatever he said, whatever he taught, because they're related together. If he did not rise from the dead, guess what? He lied, because he had said that he will. So how can I trust, how can you trust everything else that he has said in the Gospels if he did not rise from the dead according to what he had said he would do? The truthfulness of Christ depends on his resurrection. For example, in Matthew 20, verses 18 and 19, it is he who said, the Lord Jesus speaking, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and referring to himself, he says, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and on the third day he will be raised up. Those were his words. Similarly, in John chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, he said, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Notice, I will raise it up. The Jews said at that time, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? Of course, they misunderstood what he meant by what he said. He was not discussing about the physical temple, but he was speaking, it says, verse 21, of the temple of his body. He was referring to his own body. So, verse 22, so when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this. He said this, that he would rise from the dead. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. You see, once they understood the truthfulness of the words of Christ concerning the resurrection, his own resurrection, it says, because they remembered what he had said about his resurrection, that he would be raised from the dead, that is why it says at the latter part of verse 22, they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. So now, everything else that had been mentioned in the Old Testament about death and resurrection of Jesus, everything about him as being the Messiah, the Savior from sin, they believed it. They believed it. You can't separate the truthfulness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from everything else that you know of in the Bible. You can't. If one is wrong, everything else must be wrong. You can't have partly true, partly false scripture. The truthfulness of Christ depends on his resurrection. In Luke 24, he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Again, that was his word to his followers, because he reminded them of the scriptures. It is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. Not only these were his own words, but also these words were from the scriptures of the Old Testament. So this brings us back to the fact that the truthfulness and fulfillment of scripture depend on Christ's resurrection. And also the truthfulness of Christ depends on his resurrection. Vital truths regarding our faith. Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Of course, there are many other reasons, but some of the two key reasons as to why he had to rise from the dead were the ones we just mentioned about the impact that his resurrection has on the veracity, the truthfulness of the scripture and what the scriptures have said regarding his own resurrection. And also, the resurrection of Christ proves what Jesus had said about what's going to happen to him and that he will rise from the dead. These facts matter to us as Christians because our faith is based on the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth number three, as to why the resurrection of Christ is important to our faith. The resurrection of Christ, number three, is proof that Jesus is the Son of God. You may think this is so simple or even simplistic, but this is foundational. The resurrection of Christ is proof that Jesus is the Son of God. What are we referring to when we say the resurrection of Christ is proof that Jesus is the Son of God? This means Jesus is sent from heaven. He is God the Son. He is deity. He is divine. He's the chosen Savior to redeem us from our sins. In Romans 1:4, it says, Christ was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. I repeat it again. Christ was declared the Son of God, not with weakness, but with power. With power by the resurrection from the dead. He is the Son of God. His origin is of God. That's what it means, he's the Son of God. His origin is divine. He is God. That's why we always say the Son of God or God the Son. Both are synonymous. In John 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, for this reason, the Father loves me. No one, no Jew could have called God as his own or her own father. No one. They would call God as our father. But never my father. Because the moment you would call God as my father, then, oh, have you been born directly of him? That would be the implication. But Jesus, of course, many a time he confirmed this to be true. because he indeed came from the Father. For this reason, the Father loves me, he said, because I lay down my life so that I may do what? So that I may take it again. Listen, he says, for this reason, the Father loves me. Why does the Father love him? Of course, one of the reasons is mentioned here. Because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. It's in his hands, his prerogative. No one forced him to. No one can give him life back. He takes it back because he has the power. He has that authority from the Father to do that, to take his life again. He lays it down on his own initiative and he takes it again. And then he says, no one has taken it away from me. Forget about the Romans. Forget about the Jews. Forget about the whole world. He gave his life on his own initiative. That's where the true love of God is found. We never forced his arm or twisted his hand in order to, oh, you know what, Lord, save us. No, that was his own doing, his plan all along because of his great love for humanity. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father, he said. You see, he calls God as his Father because the Father and the Son, they have the same nature. That's why he is God, just as the Father is God. The resurrection of Christ is proof that Jesus is the Son of God. Number four, and this is very important. Number four, if the resurrection of Christ is not a fact, then gospel preaching, number one, belief in it, number two, the forgiveness of our sins, number three, hope for the future life in God's presence, number four, and being witnesses for God, number five, all these would be meaningless if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Through the resurrection of Christ, we have justification from sins. Romans 4:25 says, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. In 1 Corinthians 15, as of verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes these following words. And if Christ, he says, has not been raised, if you go home today, you have some time, read 1 Corinthians 15, especially the first maybe 22 verses. You can read the whole chapter. But it's such a foundational chapter for what we are discussing this morning regarding why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Why is the resurrection of Christ so important to our faith? He says this, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. You know, we're wasting our time. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this if Christ has not been raised? And then he says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. You believed in nothing then if Christ did not rise from the dead. And then he continues on saying, moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God. Why? Because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. You see, if we are saying, claiming that we are the witnesses of God and we are proclaiming the gospel of salvation, but if Christ was not raised from the dead, then what we're doing is basically a falsehood. We are misrepresenting God when God, if God, had not raised Christ from the dead. And then he continues on saying this, verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, because there is such a thing as the resurrection of the dead or from the dead, that's another discussion in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, he's always talking with ifs at this time, at this point. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. It amounts to nothing if Christ has not been raised. And then he says this, you are still in your sins. Could you please pay attention to this? The cross of Christ in and of itself will save no one if there's no resurrection for Jesus Christ. That's why we're saying you can never separate the death of Christ from the resurrection of Christ. Of course, we use it synonymously. Sometimes when we say the death of Christ, the blood of Christ, it just refers to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, his glorification, everything in a package. It's one way of putting it. Sometimes when we say Christ is risen, we're not just talking about him coming out of the grave victorious. No, we're also implying that the resurrection entailed his death, his burial, which means his vicarious substitutionary death on behalf of sinners. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Without the resurrection, there's no forgiveness of sins. If Christ did not rise from the dead. And then he says, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, that is, then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If there's no resurrection, if there's no resurrection of Christ, then those who have died in Christ, that is, those who claim to be Christians, they're gone. They have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. So never come and say, you know what? I love the Christian faith. It keeps me on the right track. It keeps me good, clean, moral. But I don't know if there is such a thing as the afterlife, salvation. But it's good for me to go to church to, quote unquote, be a Christian because that keeps me away, that keeps my family away from so much trouble. But you know just what you're saying? What you're saying is completely wrong because the Bible says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, that is, if your hope in Christ, in the things of Christ, is only for this life, but you're not concerned about the afterlife, about future, then we are of all men most to be pitied. Because if Christ has not risen from the dead, then what we're doing here is a complete waste of time and we are to be pitied the most. I could have been at home watching my favorite team play soccer this morning. If Christ had not risen from the dead, then we would be of all men most to be pitied. Why? Because we've believed in a lie. But the apostle writes, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep, that is, who have died in him. Christ has been raised from the dead. If the resurrection of Christ was not a fact, then gospel preaching, the belief in the preaching of the gospel for the forgiveness of sins, hope for the future life in the presence of the Lord himself, and being witnesses for God because we are proclaiming the gospel which supposedly saves, if Christ has not been raised, but Christ has been raised. And the gospel that we're preaching by the power of God, through the Spirit of God, saves lives. Not for now only. Not for this life only. But for eternity. For eternity. That's why none of these things that we mentioned are meaningless. The gospel preaching, belief in the gospel preaching, the forgiveness of our sins, hope for future life, and our proclamation of the gospel, our being witnesses for God and his gospel, all these are fully loaded with meaning, with eternal meaning, in fact. And truth number five, as to why the importance of the resurrection of Christ matters to us, as to why the resurrection of Christ is important to us. Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Number five, one must believe. One must believe in the resurrection of Christ in order to be saved. One must believe in the resurrection of Christ in order to be saved. Now, you may think and you may ask, what about a little kid? Or maybe I was a pagan from, well, everyone is a pagan before coming to Christ. It doesn't matter which background we come from. But you could say, well, I did not know anything about the Christian gospel before. And even when I came to Christ, I did not understand the full implications of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then does that mean I was not saved at that point of time? Of course not. Of course not. You are saved by the grace of God, and God's grace is what saves you. You may not understand all the details of the gospel, including the resurrection of Christ and the implications and the importance of the resurrection of Christ. However, as you grow up in the faith, you must say, yes, I do believe in it and I understand it. Otherwise, if you claim to be a Christian for, let's say, 10 years, 20 years, whatever, and you say to yourself, you know what? I don't get the resurrection. I don't believe in it, but I'm saved. But you're just fooling yourself. You're just fooling yourself. Because the Bible is full of testimony after testimony about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a foundational faith. We as Christians, we could disagree about a number of doctrinal things. We know that. But we can never disagree about the doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His glorification, that He will come back again. He will take us to be with Him forever and so forth. These are cardinal truths, cardinal doctrines, cardinal teachings, foundational to our faith. You can never be a Christian and still maintain, after so many years, having read the Bible or listened to messages, you can never say that you're a Christian if you do not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in order the person may say, I am saved. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You see how salvation is related to believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then Romans 4:24 says, for our sake also to whom the righteousness of God will be credited, as those who believe in Him, in God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. How can you have righteousness credited to your account, your spiritual account, without belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead? That's Paul's argument in this verse from Romans 4:24. And then you go to Acts chapter 2. The Apostle Peter, in that first full sermon on the day of Pentecost, he spoke about the resurrection of Christ. Acts 2, verse 24. But God raised Him up again, referring to Christ, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Him to be held in His power. The resurrection of Christ, along with His death, of course, is the bedrock of the apostolic preaching. You cannot preach the gospel without the resurrection of Christ. It's there. It must be there. And then he continued on saying in verse 31, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that He was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did His flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses, says Peter, along with the rest of the apostles. And then in verse 36, Peter says, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, that is Messiah, Savior, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. It got to their hearts. And that's what sound preaching must do. It will get to the heart and you need to respond. Otherwise, it will be to your detriment not to respond at the preaching of the gospel. They were pierced to the heart when they heard this and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. It starts there. Repent. One must believe in the message of the resurrection of Christ in order to be able to be saved. You can't disagree with the resurrection. You can't be a Christian without faith in the resurrection. Earlier we read from 1 Corinthians 15:14, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. And then verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. We're coming to church for nothing. We woke up so early this morning, then we're for nothing. If Christ indeed did not rise from the dead, but He did. He did. And one must believe. A person must believe in the resurrection of Christ so that a person must be saved and will be saved. Otherwise, if one doesn't believe in the resurrection, the following amazing historical fact will be a witness against those who reject Christ, and that on the day of judgment. This historical fact, which is still to come, is mentioned at least here in Acts 17:31. Because He has fixed the day, the Father has fixed the day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. No one is going to say it's unfair. In righteousness, through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. He's given the proof that he will judge mankind by raising Christ from the dead. That's the validation of what God is about to do in the future. But it starts with the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And what will follow is the judgment. The judgment. So why is the resurrection of Christ important to our faith? Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Number one, the truthfulness and fulfillment of Scripture depend on Christ's resurrection. Number two, the truthfulness of Christ depends on his resurrection. Number three, the resurrection of Christ is proof that Jesus is the Son of God. Number four, if the resurrection of Christ is not a fact, then gospel preaching, belief in it, the forgiveness of sins, hope for the future life in the presence of God, and being witnesses for God, all these would be meaningless. But Christ is risen, as it says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. Christ is risen. That's why all these are important to our faith. And all these are truths. They're facts. And fifth, one must believe in the resurrection of Christ in order to be saved. In order to be saved. Jesus said to Martha in John 11, 25, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, listen to this, he who believes in me, even if he dies, we live. We live. And everyone who lives, that is everyone who's living now and believes in me, will never die spiritually. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? This is the ultimate question. This is the question Jesus will ask every individual. As every individual comes before God the Son, bowing the knee down before him and proclaiming him as Lord. That's Philippians 2. Do you believe this, that he is the resurrection and the life? Because you have to give an answer to him. He's not going to say, you know what, okay, I'll take a rain check and then you'll come back, you know, 20 million years afterward and then you'll give me an answer. No. The day of judgment is one day. On that day, everything will happen. And of course, the response of Martha was, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Do you believe this? Your eternity depends on this. Your hope for future depends on this. Don't just live for today. Living for today is very easy. But you know, wise people start planning for the future. There's nothing wrong about wise planning. Even, you know, when we plan for our families, for our children, how much more for our souls and their souls? Wise planning for the future. Our future is scriptural. But it starts with, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That is, there would be no resurrection for anyone and no life for anyone who does not believe that Jesus is the one he claimed to be. Simple, yet profound. Basic, yet foundational. Important. Not just foundational, but so important, so crucial. Without Christ's resurrection, there's no hope. With Christ's resurrection, every one of us here, we have hope. But it takes personal faith. It takes agreeing from the heart, confessing Jesus as Lord, believing in our hearts that, yes, God raised him from the dead, repenting of our sins, as we read earlier from Acts 2, for the forgiveness of sins, and God will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those who believe in him will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, check your heart. I'll check mine. Check your heart. I'll check mine. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. You know, no showing of hands are required. No. But the important thing is, if you have a question, come and talk to us. Come and see me. Come and see one of the deacons. Come and see one of our deaconesses. Talk to us. We'll be more than glad to spend time with you, because there was a time when others guided us to the truth. Maybe now it is our time to do that for you. And why not? We're here to help each other. You know, we are beggars. We all need bread. And someone has provided bread for us, the bread of eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. Believe on him, and the Bible says you will be saved. Do you believe this? He says. He asks that question. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I trust that your answer will be in the affirmative, in the positive. And may that be for his glory. Amen.